Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Mem. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Nelly Markowitz, Necha Bas Eliezer. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We begin today's share with the Mishnah, which is about seven lines down on the top of Mem Omud Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Yisoma Shinis Arsov and Iskarshin, which should sound familiar. We've had this idea previously. As we'll see, this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that we had in the previous Mishnah. It says she is entitled to get a knas. So yesoma shenis arsa v'nis garsha, a woman who is a yesoma, never her father is not alive, or as we'll see, the Gemara is talking about here a yesoma b'chayavir. Father married her off on a deraisa level. She only had the first stage of marriage. She was an arusa, but then she was divorced by her husband. So she remains a besula, but she is no longer in her father's domain. Once she is nisgarashes, so she is now unable to be married off on a deraisa level by her father, and this is what we referred to previously as the Yisoma B'chayaviyah. So Rabbi Elazar, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, as we'll see, one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Ha'oneis Chayiv, if somebody goes and forcibly has relations with her, so there is a Chayiv of Knas in this situation, and the Knas will obviously go to the girl herself, which is like the opinion that we had of Rabbi Akiva in the previous Mishnah, because she's no longer in the domain of her father. However, of a Mafata, if somebody voluntarily, with her permission, seduces her, and they have relations, so then there is no Knas in this situation, because she's in control of herself, and she voluntarily did this, so there is no Knas. So a Mafata is Potter in this situation. So, this is what our Mishnah tells us. The Gemara starts off and tells us, Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rabba Bar Barchana says the name Rav Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar, Bishitas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbo Amora. Rabbi Elazar, this is again Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, is saying his statement in the Mishnah in accord with Rabbi Akiva that we had from the previous Mishnah. Remember, we had a machlokas Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah versus Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah said that in this situation the Knas belongs to her, Liatzma. And in the Braisa, he said the Knas goes to the father. In the previous discussion that we had, when the woman is a Bogeris, she was assaulted when she was an Arab, but then she became a Bogeris. So Rabbi Akiva in the previous Mishnah said the Knas goes to her, but in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva's opinion was noted. Trey Tanoia, Libra, the Rabbi Akiva, the two different opinions of Rabbi Akiva. In the Bryce, it said that the Knas still goes to her father. So Rabba Bar Barchana says in Rabbi Yochanan that our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Shita, goes like his Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, the opinion of the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, that said that the Knas goes to her. So to over here, the Knas goes to her. The Omar, because Rabbi Akiva said previously, Yeshla Knas uknosoli atzma. As we just said, she's entitled to a Knas in that situation when she was Nisarso Vinisgarsha, and the Knas goes to her and not to her father. So, Mimai, how do we know that this is true? The Rabbi Elazar is holding like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Midiktoni, Gemara says because of the following. Our Mishnah said, Yisoma, that we're dealing here over here with the Yisoma. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ha'ones Chayiv HaMafata Potter. It says this woman who is an orphan, she doesn't have a father, so the Knas goes to her in the case of an Anusa, where she was assaulted, she was raped, and in the Mafuta case, where she was a willing participant, then there is no Knas at all. Now, the Gemara says, Yisoma Pshita. Obviously, the Knas doesn't go to her father. Her father's not alive. So, obviously, the Knas goes to her. So, that can't be the Chiddush of our Mishnah. So, Gemara says, you're right. Elohokam Ashwal, and the Chiddush of our Mishnah is, the Nara, Shinis Arsa, Vinis Garsha, Ke Yisoma. A woman who had been married off on a deraisa level, she was divorced on a deraisa level, so she was an arusa, and then she was a grusha, so she's still a basula, she never consummated the marriage, so she has the same status as a yisoma, just like a yisoma, my yisoma la'atzma, the knas obviously belongs to her, so too, this yisoma b'chai yaviyah, her father's alive, but he no longer has the right to marry her off on a deraisa level, so too, that she has the halachic status of a regular yisoma, my yisoma la'atzma, just like the yisoma who has no father, literally. The Knas goes to her, if she's a Rachmona Litzlan assaulted, so to Avnara, Shinisaris of Niskarsha, the Nara who is a Yisoma B'chayaviyah, so halachically, she is considered as not having a father, even though physically, Baruch Hashem, her father is still alive. In this situation, the Knas goes Li'atzma as well. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua in our Mishnah. Amr Rabbi Zeira, Amr Rabbi Bar Shila. Rabbi Zeira says the name of Rabbi Bar Shila. Amar Rav Amnuna Saba, who said it over the name of Rav Amnuna Saba, who said it over the name of Amar Rav Adam Rav, Amar Rav, who said it over the name of Rav. Again, we often have this series of great Amarayim saying one over the name of the other to teach us that Omer Dover B'Shem Amro may be Gula Liolam. Said this many times. If you say over things in the name of other people, so that helps bring the Gula to the world. It brings Shalom to the world. It brings happiness to the world. And therefore, it's going to bring Gula to the world. In any event, what do they all say over the name of Rav? That the Halacha is like our Mishnah, Kirabi Elozer. And about this, Rav said that this Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Kari Rav Alei, the Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Tovina de Chakime. He is, Rashi points out in Dibur Masel, Tovina de Chakime, he is Me'usho Sheva Chachamim. He is the wealthiest of the Chachamim. He is the richest of the Chachamim. Ashrei Metargiminon Tuvoi. As Rashi says, the word Tuvoi is touched up as Ashrei, praiseworthy, as wealthy, the most fortunate. Of all the Amoraim is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. And as Rashi points out, who is this Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar who is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. He was one of the five great Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. The Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Hayo Kedamrina Yevamos, we didn't have this that long ago in Yevamos, where it said, Hayo Olam Shameim, that the world's Torah had been tremendously decreased with the loss of the 24,000 Talmidim, the 12,000 pairs of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, because they weren't knowing proper covered one to the other. And they all passed away. This is, of course, the Sfira that we have as a sad period of time is because of the 24,000 Talmidim, the 12,000 pairs of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And it tells us there in the Gemara that the world was destroyed from Torah. Achibar Rabbi Akiva, Eitzor Vaseinu Shibadarim, he went down south and he taught his five great Talmidim. Some say it was a sixth Talmud, but he taught these five great Talmidim we have throughout Shas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. That's the Rabbi Elazar that we're dealing with, and he is considered very praiseworthy over here because the halacha is usually like him. That's why he's considered Me'ushish Mechamim, because we almost always paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. The Mefarshim will ask the question, so he's really paskin within the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Why don't we say that praiseworthy is Rabbi Akiva? So one of the answers is given, there are many answers that are given, one of the answers that are given is because we wanted to distinguish, if we said that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, we wouldn't know whether paskin like Rabbi Akiva from the previous Mishnah or Rabbi Akiva from the previous Brisa. There were Trei Tanoi, Alibi the Rabbi Akiva, so therefore it tells us that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Rabbi Elazar over here, to show us which opinion of Rabbi Akiva we really paskin like. I thought on my own that a Rebbe is never jealous of his Talmidim. So therefore, when we say that the halacha is like one of his Talmidim, and he's so praiseworthy as that Talmid, so that makes the Rebbe very, very happy. It says a father and a Rebbe are never, ever jealous of their sons / their Talmidim. And therefore, a Rebbe or a father who hears good things about his student, hears good things about his child, is extremely happy. Nothing makes them more happy. And therefore, when we say Tuvino de Chakimi, he's the most praiseworthy, the most happy of the Talmidim, so that is a great Simcha to his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, as well. In any event, the Mishnah continues. The next Mishnah, Ezel Boshes. We said we get to this yesterday, now we're at it. What does it mean that there's a penalty of Boshes? We said in the Mishnah yesterday that both the one who is Mafata, the woman, the one who seduces the woman, as well as the one who's Ma'anes, the one who assaults, rapes the woman, so they have to pay, in addition to the Knas of 50 Shkolim, they have to pay certain damages, financial damages, and one of them was Boshes. So what is Boshes? That's what our Mishnah asks now. Ezu Boshes, how do we define Boshes? So the Mishnah tells us it all depends. Hakol lefi hamivayish v'hamizbayish. It all depends on the person who's doing the embarrassing, who the assaulter is, and who the person who's being damaged, the misbayish, the one who's being embarrassed, so it all depends on their status in life. Rashi brings down over here, in Dibur Masechta Hachol Lefi HaMevayish, so he says, Odom Beinoni HaMevayish, if the person who is doing the embarrassment, he's causing the embarrassment, is an average person, Boshaso Kosheh, it's worse, is more embarrassment when an average person embarrasses you than me Odom Zolo, than a lower person, a low life who embarrasses you, or if a great person embarrasses you. What Rashi is saying over here is that when a great person embarrasses somebody, so there's almost a certain level of non-embarrassment there. When a ruler or a king or a president goes and embarrasses you, there's a certain level of, wow, he was embarrassed by the king, he was embarrassed by the ruler. So it's less of a busha, because it's such an important person that embarrasses you. And likewise, if a very, very low person embarrasses you, it's not that much embarrassment. Ah, the guy's crazy, the guy's a low life. So it's not as much embarrassment. When a regular person embarrasses you, there's more of a busha. That's what Rashi says over here. Elsewhere, in the Gemara in Bava Kama, Rashi says that Adam Kal Shabiesh Boshoso Meruba. There Rashi disagrees with what he says over here. And Rashi says there that the lower a person is, the more the busha is. In any event, it all depends over here, according to the Mavayish, the one who's embarrassing you, that will determine what the Boshas penalty is. And likewise, Hamizbayish, the one who's embarrassed, as Rashi says over here, and he says in Bava Kama, the same thing, Lefi Chashivuso, Boshoso. The more Chashiv you are, the bigger the embarrassment. The person who is a very low standing in society, so if he's embarrassed, it's not such a terrible thing. The higher you are in standing, the more the Bosha impacts upon you. And therefore, the penalty will be higher. So the Mishnah tells us it all depends on who's doing the embarrassing and who's the one who's being embarrassed. That's how you determine what the Boshas is. Pagam, that was the other penalty that we said that everybody paid, both the Mefata and the Ma'anes. They had to pay Pagam, Boshes and Pagam. So how do we calculate Pagam? So this, the Mishnah tells us, is Rono saw, we look at this woman, Kilu Hishivcha, Nimkeres Bashuk. We look at her as if she was a slave being sold on the marketplace. And how much would people pay to have Kamoha Yisayofa when she's a Besula, the Kamoha Yisayofa when she's not a Besula? So we go and look to see how much the difference in value between if you were to go and sell her as a Besula versus go and sell her as a Be'ula, a woman who had been assaulted or it was no longer a Besula. And the Gemara will explain that when the master is buying this for his Eved, who he really holds in high status, so he wants to go and treat his Eved very nicely, so he buys him a Shivcha that's a Basula rather than a Shivcha that is a Ba'ula for him to consort with. So that difference that he'd be willing to pay is the Pagam that we're going to calculate out that would be the damages that the owners of the Mefata would have to pay. Then the Mishnah tells us, Knas Shavu Choladim. The actual Knas, however, the 50 Shkalim, that is independent of who you are, whether you're a high-level person, low-level person. So the Knas that the woman gets is independent of her status or the status of the person that attacked her. And in fact, anything that's a set amount in a Torah, which in other words is a knas, so for example, this would be the 30 for killing an Eved, or the 100 for Motzi Shema, in all of these situations, so then that set fee, which is obviously not damages because the damages would be different. There are separate penalties for damages, but when it's a set fee, a knas, because she ishlo kitzu in a Torah, shoveh b'chol adam. So then it's one flat sum for everybody, regardless of their status, regardless of their stature, regardless of any other factors. The other factors, that would be the nezek. That would come into play in terms of the nezek, so that will depend on who's doing what to whom. But in regards to the flat fee knas, for example, the 50 shkalim over here, that's independent of who the people are. Mara starts off and says, maybe we should say that this 50 shkalim is an all-encompassing total amount that encompasses all the damages as well. Namely, the chamishim sloim. Sloim and shkalim are somewhat interchangeable. In the Chumash, we use the terminology shkalim. Later on, the numbers were changed around, the values were changed around, but they started using the terminology sloim when they changed the value. The difference between the midbar and between other places subsequently, so there were changes in the actual evaluation of the coins, but now they started referring to them in the Mishnah time as sloim. So in any event, this 50 sloim or this 50 shkalim penalty, so the Ema, let us say the Gemara says that this penalty, this flat sum, chamishim sloim, that the Torah tells us, Amar Achmana, mikol mile, maybe that includes and encompasses everything that is owed by the ones or the mafate to the woman. And that we don't go and separately calculate the boshes and the pagam, but there's a flat fee that encompasses everything. Maybe the Gemara says that's what the 50 shkalim represents. So the Gemara says that can't be. Amar Zera says in that situation, Yomru Baal, if somebody Rechmona Lassan assaulted or seduced the Bas Melachim, the princess, the king's daughter, there's chamishim shkalim, there's 50 shkalim. So is that the same penalty? The Baal Bas Ed Yotos chamishim sloim also should be the same penalty for assaulting the king's daughter, the princess, versus assaulting a, quote, commoner's daughter, a hedgeout, a regular person's daughter. So that doesn't make any sense, Rosera says. How can you tell me that the penalty is the same for both of them? Obviously, the princess, when she's assaulted, is a much, much bigger busha. So more questions, Rosera says. Only Rabbi, Abai says to him, based on what you're saying then, so then when you have your shor by accident go and kill, you have a shor mu'at, and it goes and kills somebody else's slave. So the Torah says there's a flat sum of 30 shkalim that you pay in that situation. So Abai says, if you're telling me that we start distinguishing between the different people, so I'm like Abai, he says, Ihochi, Gabi Eved Nami, when you have your mu'at shor that goes and kills an Eved, so the Torah says that there's a flat 30 shkalim fine for that, Are you going to tell me that we should start looking into the differences between the avodim? The Torah says it's one flat fee. Yomru Eved Nokev Margolios Shloshim. Eved Osem, we turn to Memomid Beis, Maisim Achat Shloshim. Based upon what you're saying, that we should start distinguishing between the different type of women, so therefore the 50 shkolim would be different for the princess versus the 50 shkolim would be different for the hedyotos. So then the same thing we should apply, if that were true, to if your ox gored an evet that does very, very highly skilled labor. They're a professional gem cutter. So there's no cave Margolios. They go and they cut diamonds. So that's very highly skilled work. Should that be the same penalty of 30 shkolim that we go and make pay if your ox muad went and killed somebody else for who the slave is maisi machad? He's a simple sower. He doesn't have a very highly skilled job. He just sews little things together. He's not a fancy diamond cutter. So it says 30 shkolim for each of them. According to you, Zera, you should have to start going and break apart the penalties depending on who the person is. But the Torah doesn't do that, so that can't be the answer. So Gemara says you're right. El Omer Zera says that's not the answer. Ilu bau aleo shnayim. The difference would be that the 50 shkolim shows you that that's just the knas and doesn't include everything. Would be if Rachmon Lusan, a girl, had been assaulted by two people. Now, the girsa that we have is Echod Kedarka, V'Echod Shlo Kedarka. That the first one, seemingly, had relations with her in a normal way, meaning that he had vaginal relations with her, and the second one had what we call Shlo Kedarka, he had anal relations with her. Now, the order that we have seems to imply that the Kedarka came first and then subsequently the Shlo Kedarka. But if you look in the Masoreh Shah, he tells you go look in the Gemara in Erechin on Daf Tezvav. There it switches it around into the correct order, which is that the first relations were Shlo Kedarka and she's still a Besula, and then the second relations are Kedarka. And in fact, Tosfos brings down on Mem Omid Aleph that that's what it means over here. The order is out of order. And he says that's the style that the Gemara sometimes has. The Gemara is not medakdate to keep them in exactly the right order of the events that happened. And that's a style. He brings other examples where this happens. In any event, the reality of this case, Rezera says, is that this girl was Nebuch first assaulted Shlo Kedarka. She had anal relations. She's still a Basula. And then she's assaulted Kedarka. Now, are you going to tell me, Yomru, Baal Shlema Chamishim, Baal Paguma Chamishim, should this girl have the same knas for the first person and the second person? This is assuming that the person who has Bia Shalok Kedarka also is Chayiv Knas. Not everybody agrees with that. Rashi doesn't seem to agree with that, but we'll learn it nice and simple. That are you telling me these two women have the same knas? The first girl, when she's assaulted, so she's a Basula, but she's now Pogum. She's by being assaulted, she is more pogum than the girl who's never been assaulted. So should you pay the same knas in both of these situations? Reb Zera says, obviously, this must be talking purely about a knas and not talking about the total penalty, because the girl who'd been assaulted previously, so the pagan and the busha is less to her than to the girl who'd not been assaulted previously. So obviously, Reb Zera says that this 50 shkolim is a flat sum, not including all the other damages. Mor again says that's not a raya. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Zera, that's also not a raya. Because ihachi, then the same thing we apply Gabi Eved Nami in regards to the 30 shkolim that Yerushar Muad killed an Eved. We can say the same thing. Yomu Eved Bari Shloshim, Eved Mukoshlin Shloshim. Then it should make a difference into the strength of the Eved. If the Eved's a healthy Eved, so then you're paying him only 30 shkolim, and if the Eved is a mukoshlin, you're going to pay him, the Eved is a sick person, he has this shlin all over his body, so he's also going to be entitled to 30. Obviously, Abaye says that in this situation, this is just the penalty, and it's not having to do with the value. The other evaluations is different. So the 30 shkolim is a flat sum. Therefore, Abaye says to Reb Zera, your response is incorrect. So, Mor says, so Abaye then gives the teretz. Elo Amar Abaye. How do we know over here that the shkolim is a flat sum that is regardless of the person who is involved and that the other damages are paid separately? Elo Amar Abaye, because the pasuk says, Amar Kroh, Tachas Asher Ina. The pasuk says that Rachmon Leslan, if a man goes and attacks a woman, so in regards to payment that he makes is tachas, this 50 shkolim is instead of asherina for the fact that he afflicted her. So, honey, tachas asherina, this 50 shkolim is for the ina, miklal, implying the ika boshes ubagam. That's separate from the other damages that he did that he has to pay. So, this is Abaye's reasoning as to where we get the idea of 50 shkolim. And it's only a flat sum, regardless of anything else, and then the other differential factors that you'd make up in the boshes ubagam payments that would be different. That's a bias teretz. It's a good teretz. Rava gives a different teretz. Rava says, no, look at the pasuk. Rava mar amar kra v'nasan ha'ish hasholchei v'ma lavi hanara chamishim kosef. It says hasholchei v'ma. It uses the lashon of hasholchei v'ma. That was seemingly unnecessary. Could have just said v'nasan ha'ish lavi hanara chamishim kosef. We know it's talking about hasholchei v'ma. So Rava darshan's over here hanos shchiva chamishim. The fact that he had relations with her, that's the 50 shkolim. Miklal implying the ikaboshes begam, that any other damages are paid separately. So both Abai and Rava darshan these psukim. Now, from the fact that it says Rava Amar, it means that Rava is not necessarily arguing with Abai. He's just saying this is another way to darshan it out. So lav davka, the Abai and Rava are arguing with each other. Each of them just brings a different way to darshan out the fact that the 50 shkolim is a separate payment, regardless of who is involved, and then the differential between the people that are involved, the boshes and the begam, that's made up in a separate payment. Mark continues down and says, Ve'ema l'dida, maybe it goes the payment to her for the boshes and megam and not to her father. As Rashi points out in Dibur Masel, Ve'ema l'dida havi, Rashi had the gears of havi, Dibishloma knas, we understand the knas, ksivbe v'noasan l'viya nara, elahani levi l'dida. Maybe it's only the knas that goes to the father in the situation where it's a regular case, not an ara, shiniskarsa, v'niskarsha, but in a regular case, maybe it's only the knas that goes to the father, because it says v'nasan lavi anara. In that situation, only the knas, but maybe the boshet and the wagam go to her, v'emol l'dido. So Gemara says, no, that can't be, because the pasuk tells us, now this is in regards to Nadorim, where it tells us, Omar Kra, the pasuk says, binurea be'savia, when she's in a state of Naras, she's still considered to be in her father's domain. Therefore, that implies that not only in regards to Nadarim does the father have the right to be made for Nadarim, but kol shevach ne'ureha l'aviyah, any shevach that she brings in other words, any income that she brings in also goes to her father. So this boshes and pegam is considered like an income, and it should therefore go to her father as well. Moshe says, wait a second. But then, if this is correct, so then why did Rav Huna Amar Rav have to teach us minayin shemaisei habas liovia, that the handiwork of the daughter goes to the father? If you have this pasuk in Rabbi Savia to teach us that, then why do they have to use this following pasuk to teach us that? Shinamar, the pasuk says v'chib kor ishes bitoli amo. The pasuk says when a man sells his daughter to be a amo ha'ivriya. So it says that in that situation we have the hekish between bito and li'oma to teach us ma oma ma'isya del rabba, just like the oma havriya her ma'isya del go to her master, so too af bas, so too the daughter ma'isya del li'aviyah, so too the handiwork of the daughter goes to the father as well, and therefore we need this specific pasuk to teach us this. Rav Huna Amar Rav says, so lomeli, why would I need this? After all, why don't we learn it if you're correct in saying that we can learn it out from Nureah Beis Aviyah? So typically, mi Nureah Beis Aviyah. So obviously, since Rav Huna Amar Rav says we need this other drasha, we can't learn it all out from Nureah Beis Aviyah. Well, it says, okay, Ella. So, hi, Baforis Nadarmu, this is, maybe we could argue that the reason why Rav Huna Amar Rav says we need a separate pasuk to teach us the Ma'isi Adel is because that pasuk of Binurel Beis Avi is only talking about Nadarim. Ay, the Gemara says, V'chitemo Nelef Mino. Okay, Mine. So even if it's only talking about Nadarim, so fine. So let us learn out from Nadarim to monetary payments as well. Just like the father has the right to be paid for his daughter's Nadarim when she's Binurel Beis Avi, so too is he entitled to all of her handiwork, including the Shevach and the Pagam. So the Gemara says, no. Mamona Me'isura Loyafinan. Nadarim is a din of Isurim, and you can't learn out financial from Isurim. You're going to tell me, but let's learn it out from the Knas. The Knas definitely goes to the father, so why don't we say all the financial payments go to the father as well? So again, the Gemara says, Mamona mi Knasa lo yafina. We can't learn out Mamon from Knas as well. While they're both financial payments, Mamon is for damages, and Knas is a separate Torah, Xeris HaKosov, and therefore you can't learn out one from the other. So therefore, we really don't have a source for how do we know that the daughter doesn't get the neboshes at the begam? Maybe it should go to the daughter and not to the father. Shmuel says, Ella mistabro diovia hevi. So from a logical derivation, it makes sense that not only does the knas go to the father, as the pasuk specifically states, but even the boshes and the begam should go to the father. Why is that? Because if he wanted to, If the father wanted to, if the father wished to, he could marry his daughter off to anybody. The Torah gives him the right to marry his daughter off until she reaches a certain age. The father has the right to marry off his daughter. So when she's a ketana, if he wished, he could marry her off to a menuvel, a horrible person, or a mukashchin, or a person who has all sorts of skin lesions, these boils. So there would be tremendous boshes and pagam in that situation. So we see that since the father technically has the right to do so, so then if there is a boshes and pagam payment, it should go to the father as well. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Pigam ro nosok ilu he shivcha nimkeres." So the Mishnah had said that in regards to pigam, we evaluate this woman as if she was a shivcha being sold, and the difference between a shivcha being sold as a besula versus a bula, so that is the pigam. So the Mishnah says, "How do you exactly do this? Hechi shayminon la? How do we go and assess this? How do you go and evaluate this in the shuk, in the marketplace?" So Amar Avu de Shmuel, so Shmuel's father said, "Omdin, we evaluate." How much would a person be willing to pay extra to have a girl who's a besula take care of him, to be mishamishim, versus a girl who's a beula? So that difference is the difference in pagam. Where it says, Shivcha beula l'shamsho, my nafkalimina. We're not talking about having relations with this girl, we're talking about a person to bring you coffee. So why would you pay more to have a woman who is a besula to bring you coffee than a girl who is a beula? So that doesn't make any sense. Someone says, you're right. Ella, the difference is, Ella bein shivcha beula l'shivcha she'ena beula l'hasio li'avdo. We are talking about, for marriage purposes, how much would a person pay to go and purchase a besula shivcha versus a beula shivcha to go give over to his servant. So once this again, Uli Abdo, my nafkalimina. What difference does it make? He is giving a wife to his servant, so he'll have children from that couple, and then he'll have more avadim. So what difference does it make to him whether the woman is the besula or ba'ula? It's irrelevant. So again, why would that be a different price? So Gemara says, no, we're dealing over here, but Evet Shiesh Lo Lirabo Koras Ruach Emenu. We're dealing with an Evet that the master is very interested in giving him a hakoras hatov, very interested in thanking him. As Rashi says in Dibur Masu Koras Ruach, Shazara Biavodoso, he was a very good servant. He works very diligently. And therefore the master wants to give him a bonus. And in this situation, Lhatimo Tan Basula, it is more pleasurable to have relations with this Basula than it would be to have with a Ba'ula. So therefore he wants to give him, quote, a taste, Lhatimo Tan Basula, and that's why he'd be willing to pay extra for a girl who's a Basula. And that amount that he'd be willing to pay extra is the evaluation for the Pagam being a Basula to a Ba'ula. Okay, next Mishnah. We learned this Mishnah previously as well, so this will be Chazara. The Mishnah starts and tells us, Kol makom sheyesh mecher, wherever the father has the right to go and sell off his daughter to marry her, ein kinas. There is not yet a din of kinas. The din of kinas, according to this Tana, which we'll see as Reb Meir, is only for a Nara. So while she's a Ketana, where the father has the right to go and sell her off, there is no din of kinas. And vice versa, v'chol mokum sheish knas, when she's a nara, and there is a din of knas from 12 years to in one day to 12 years and 6 months, so there is a din of anusa and mefuta, and there would be a knas, so then ein mecha, then the father no longer has the right to sell the girl once she is out of the ketana status and goes into the nara status. As we'll see, this is the opinion of Rabbi, which we've had previously. The Mishnah continues and says, ketana yesh lo mecher. This is now explaining the first part of the Mishnah and tells us that a ketana is a status of a girl that the father has the right to go and sell her to marry her. The ein lo knas. And in this situation, there is no knas if Rachmana Lassan, she had been assaulted. Again, because a ketana, according to Reb Meir, doesn't have a din of knas. Din of mecher, yes. Din of knas, no. Nara, yesh lo knas, ve'en lo mecher. But the nara is the stage where there is a knas. That's what the Torah tells us, the knas of anusa mafuta, but the father no longer has the right to go and sell off his daughter. So the two are flip sides of each other. Where there's mecher, there's no knas. Where there's knas, there's no mecher. However, habogeres ein lo lo mecher lo knas. Once she reaches the bagris state, which is 12 years and 6 months of age, so then there is no din, the father can't sell her anymore, and likewise there's no din anymore of knas. The knas is a special din in the Torah, there's a kasav for a nara. At least according to this Tana of our Mishnah, Reb Meir. Arm of Yehuda, Arm of Rav, Reb Yehuda, Rav says specifically, Zudivri Reb Meir, that the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Meir. However, the Chachamim disagree. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Yesh lo Knas, Bimkom Mecher, that there is a Knas at the time that there is Mecher. In other words, while she's a Ketana, there is Mecher, the father writes the seller, and the father also has the right to collect the knas, if Rahman al-Mustan, if she's an anus or a mafuta, so there is a din of knas. And where do we see this? The Tani says in the following brisa. Kitano mi bas yom echad viachu tovi shtei saros yesh lo mechad v'ein lo knas. The Tanakam over here, which we'll see, is Rav Meir, says that a katana from the day she is one day old, the day she is born, until she is a Nara, when she reaches the age of 12 years and one day, which is when she reaches Shtei Saros, so there is a din of Mecha, the father is right to sell her, they look Knas, but Rav Meir's opinion is that there is no Knas in that situation. However, Mishutovi Shtei Saros, when she reaches 12 years and one day, Shtei Saros, Ashati Bagra, until 12 years and 6 months, when she reaches the Bagra state, so Rav Meir says, Yesh lo Knas, that's when the Torah instituted the onus and mafuta penalties of 50 shkolim, there's a knas, there ain't no mecha, but there is no mecha at this point in time. Tivri Rameir. That's the opinion of Rameir. Why? Shoye Rameir Omer. Kol mokum sheish mecha in knas, kol mokum sheish knas ain't mecha. As we've already said, the two parallel each other. That when there's knas, there's no mecha. When there's mecha, there's no knas. That's the opinion of Rameir. Very straightforward, very easy to understand. Chacham disagree, as the Brisa says, Chacham lomrim kitano mibash shalosh shonim v'yom echad v'yachet tibogir yesh l'knas. A kitana, when she reaches the age of 3 years and one day, why not from birth? Because from birth we say the basulim regrow, and there is no din of knas, even according to the Chachamim, for a kitana that's under 3 years and one day. But once she reaches 3 years and one day, when the basulim will not grow back, until the age of bagrus, meaning in the rest of the years of being a katana, up until 12 years and one day, and then including the 12 years and one day till the 12 years and 6 months period of time of Naras, yesh lo knas. There is a din of knas according to the Chachamim. Now, that seems to imply the knas in Mechel lo. Do the Chachamim not agree with the din of Mecher? Whenever there's a knas, do they say that there's no Mechel like Rav Meir? So Gemara says, no, that's not true. Ema, it means af knas b'moku mecher, that not only is there a knas, but there's also, of course, Mecher during this entire period of time. Mecher, everybody agrees, is from one day old until at least the age of a naris. So everybody agrees to that. And the Chachamim say, even during a naris stage, there is both knas and mecher. Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda says, my time of Rav Meir. What's Rav Meir's reasoning? He bases it on the pasuk. The pasuk says, Amar Kra, below Siel Isha, that when the woman is Rachmon al-Islan assaulted, so then she will be to him for a wife. What does that mean? Bimahava Atzma, Kosim Adab. It means the woman has to be of an age where she could accept Kedusha for herself, which is only during the Nara period of time, and not during the Ketana period of time. And therefore, according to Rav Meir, the Nara is the only one entitled to a Knas, but not the Ketana. The Rabbanon, what do they say about this Pasuk? So we have two possible explanations. The first one is Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says Nara. Now, Nara is spelled without a hey. It's pronounced Nara as if it had a hey, but it's spelled without a hey. It's spelled as if it was Nar, but it really is pronounced Nara. And that implies Apilu Ketana Bimashma. That includes, because of the missing hey, that's the common teachers of Drasha, that it's not only while she's a Nara, but it's also while she's a Ketana, that there is this din of Knas. Gemara questions this and says, Shema Rav Papa Berei the Rav Chanan Mibei Kluchis. Rav Papa, who was the son of Rav Chanan, who came from a city known as Bei Kluchis, so he heard this explanation of Reish Lakish, and Ozal Amora Kamei the Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, and he said this word over to Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, and Rav Shimi Bar Ashi said to him, Amale, Atun Ahamas Nisula. That's the way you understood Reish Lakish. However, Anan Ahamas Nisula. We learned Reish Lakish on the following. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, Hamotzi Shem Ra La Ketana. If a person Rachmon Litzlan says that his wife, who's a Ketana, was not a Besula, he's Motzi Shem Ra on her. Potter. There is no requirement in this situation, if he's found to be lying, to pay the 100 shkolim. That is a penalty in this situation. Why? Shenemar, because it says, V'nosnu lavi hanara. You have to give to the father of the nara. And nara mole dibra kosov. Here, the word nara is spelled mole. It is spelled with a hey, and therefore it implies that it's only in this situation is there a knas when she's a nara, but not if she is a ketana. More questions is drasha. Maskev lo Rav Ada Bar Avi says, really? Is that Reish Lakish's drasha? Tama, because of Rechman Anara, you're saying it's because it's spelled with a hey, so that's why it means a Nara only and not a Ketana. Implication being, Halav Hachi, if it had been spelled without a hey in this situation, Havamina Filu Ketana. I would have said that this includes even a Ketana. Is that really true? How could that possibly be? Bok Siv, the Pasuk tells us by Motzi Shema, that if the person is lying, so then he has to pay 100 shekel fine. But if he's telling the truth, V'memes Hayodor, Rechman Litzlan, there is unfortunately proof that his wife had committed adultery while she was in Arusa. They didn't find Besulim And they have witnesses that said that she was Mizana while she was in Arusa, and they give a skila in that situation. There was Hasra, there was witnesses, so they give her Basin's Misa of skila for adultery. But if she were a Ketana, how could they give her skila? She's not Bar Onshin. So obviously, this drasha is incorrect to say that because it's written fully, it implies only a Nara. But if it had written without a hay, then it would imply even a Ketana. That can't be because we don't give a Ketana Onshin. So Gemara says, you're right. Elokan Nara, ha komakum shenema Nara, afilu Ketana mash bimashma. So you're right here. There is a hay over here. So Reish Lakish is teaching us that over here, it certainly is only referring to a Nara and can't be referring to a Ketana. But we learn from here that whenever it is spelled deficiently, it's missing the hay, so then whenever it's spelled without the hay and it's pronounced Nara, so then it includes a Ketana, afilu Ketana bimashma. And that's how Rav Shimi bar Ashi learned out Reish Lakish's din a little bit differently than the way that Rav Papa, Brei Rav Chanan b'Mikluchas, had heard it said over in the name of Rav Chista. These are the two understandings of how come Rav Meir's Shita is that it's only a Nara that has Knas and not Mecher, and only a Ketana has Mecher and not Knas, and the Chachamim disagree with these drushos, and they learn out that both a Ketana as well as a Nara can have Knas. They don't follow this drusha of Nara with a Hay, implying that it's only a Nara and not a Ketana. With this, we conclude today's shir.